In all you're getting, get wisdom.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
Through wisdom is a house built.
And by understanding, it is established.
Join Apostle Joshua Selman of Eternity Network International as he takes you on a journey into the wisdom of God's Word. Its intimacy, its partnership, its fellowship. This is Koinonia.
Hallelujah. Very powerful song. Hallelujah. Please take it high, Pinga. Play the guitar for me. That's the sound we're really going to be working with today. Just that song, David Dam, there's fire in his eyes. I don't know the song, but very powerful song. Just lift it once or twice and then we'll sit down.
There is fire in this place. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire in this place tonight. There is fire in this place. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost burn.
There's fire in this place.
There is fire in this place. It's the fire of the Holy Fire tonight. Yeah. There is fire in this place. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hey. There is fire in this place. Yeah.
Spirit of the living God, open our eyes, grant us understanding, and help us pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. I really want to appreciate all of us. It's been a journey of sacrifice. The Lord will honor us in Jesus' name. There must always come a time where you must be ready to commit your spirit to build, to have some time dedicated, and we're happy that this is what God is doing. You're ready for tonight's revelation? Ephesians chapter 6, the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Tonight, the Lord will give us a revelation, the shield of faith. Yesterday we looked at the mystery of the serpent and the woman. Know that many of us found that revelation very disturbing. But it's a call to know God and it's a call to understand His ways. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. Theologically speaking, we know that the book of Ephesians was a demonstration of the apex of Paul's apostolic ministry. It was here that Paul communicated the revelations of God committed to him with the greatest sense of balance. Six chapters divided into three portions that demonstrate the full stature of the believer. Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 begins by giving us a revelation of our position, the positional advantage that we have on account of who Christ is. In chapter 1, it tells us what has happened to Christ. In chapter 2, we now find ourselves featured there that He's not only seated, but we are seated with Him. Hallelujah. And then He begins to teach us the character and the lifestyle that is befitting for a believer. And now he teaches us the subject of warfare, and not just warfare, he now begins to guide us on the spiritual arsenals that are available for the believer. And one of it is what we are considering. Verse 16. Above all, this is the first revelation we want to see. Meaning he had said some other things that considers important for the believer. But he says above them all, above every other thing, he said, taking the shield of faith. Please follow me carefully. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith, meaning with that shield of faith, ye shall have an ability. That faith can give you an ability. And it says, with that ability, you can quench how many? Here is a big secret. There are certain weapons that cannot do certain things. Prayer and fasting can cast a kind of spirits. Jesus said, this kind. There are spirits that are casted just by declaring the name of Jesus. There are spirits that you must engage prayer and fasting. There are spirits that are casted through knowledge. There are spirits that are casted through sacrifice. There are spirits that are casted through covenant. There are spirits that are casted through agreement. But there is a mystery that can address everything. It says, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts, not some, the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all, I've taught you other principles, but above all, taking the shield of faith. He said, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts. I want you to follow the progression of the revelations that we share day by day. Remember that when I was talking to you about Satan day two, we were discussing how that Satan influences people by informations. Are we together now? It's not Satan's best when he oppresses people and afflicts them physically. That's not where you get his best. The best is he brings you to a system of servitude by selling an information to you that makes you his slave. That's how he became the God of thrones and dominions and the kings upon the earth. He supplied an information. Are we together? And here the Bible is saying that three things will happen. One, that a man, he never said take faith. Take note now. He didn't say take faith. He said the shield of faith. And then he says you will be able to quench the fiery darts. What are they? It's not, it will be costly for us to assume we understand what he's saying. What is fiery darts? Arrows. Are we together now? Yes. And then he says you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. So faith is many things. A shield is one of what faith can become. That's not all it can become, but it's saying that faith has dimensions, just like love, the breadth, the length, that there is a dimension of faith. There is something you can do with your faith that can become a shield. This is what he's teaching. You already have faith, but is it a shield? Faith can be an instrument of getting answers, but not a shield. The operation of faith as a shield is not the operation of faith that will give you answered prayers. This is what I'm trying to teach you. He's teaching warfare here, not answered prayers. He's teaching a defense system, how a believer can use faith, not just to obtain a good report like Hebrews 11. No, he's teaching warfare here. There is how you can engage in faith and please God. There is how you can engage in faith and receive things that God promised. But there is how you can use faith like a defense. This is not God now. God is in heaven. You are using your faith to defend yourself. It's saying taking the shield of faith, wherein you will be able to quench all the fiery darts. Let's look at what Apostle John said. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. He said, for whatsoever is born of God. Remember we spoke about the seed of the serpent yesterday. That whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. The Greek word cosmos. The social strata alongside the mindset that exists in it. It says, and this is that victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So faith is many things. An instrument for receiving answered prayer is just one of it. Unfortunately, many people, that's all they know about faith, as an instrument that can bridge between you and what you want. So every time we say faith, our idea is just about receiving things. Are we together now? That just an instrument to receive. The Bible says in warfare, the shield is faith. This is the victory that overcomes. That there are fiery darts that can come for a believer. And that when you know how to convert your faith like a shield, it can shield all, not some. There is something you can do with faith that can shield all the fiery darts. My first question is, what is the fiery dart? That's where I want us to look at. Because if we don't know what it is, what is the fiery darts of the devil that he says to quench? Now, he was speaking to people in those days who were used to warfare. And the shield he was talking about, yes, not some small shield that you see. The way the military people fought war, the shield was as tall as them. From head to toe, they could hold it. Are we together now? And in ancient times, when they were fighting war, because of how they were trained, the tip of their arrows were dipped sometimes in poison. And when they fired it, if it touched any part of you, it could kill you. So the goal was for the arrow to touch any part of you and it would destroy you. Number two, sometimes they could light fire on the arrows. Are we together now? And with that arrow, something that will be burning, maybe like kerosene or something, so that if it touched you, whether your clothes or whatever, it could set you on fire. And so he says that in that similitude, Satan throws things at people. And that you can use your faith as a defense to quench all the fiery darts. Let's see what those fiery darts are. Now, when you study systematic theology, listen, you come across a concept called the law of first mention. Are we together? The law of first mention or first use. And that means that when you want to examine a word, a subject, a topic, an idea, you go to the Bible and find out where it was first mentioned, either that word or that operation. Are we together now? And see how it was used. Then that idea is what you use every other place that expression is used in the Bible. For instance, every time you see dove in the Bible is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So you see the first context of his usage. Satan has never been associated with the dove. He's been associated with many things, the vulture and so on and so forth like that. Are we together now? So this, when we go to the first recorded account of Satan and man and the fall of man, the warfare, we see how Satan used this fiery dart in Genesis chapter 3. And this is what happened. Let's turn there. Can we look at it briefly? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. We have some prayers to pray tonight. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more what? Subtle than all the beasts of the field which the Lord has made. And he, what did he use? What is his arrow? What is the arrow? What does he send to men? Words. Listen. Understand what I'm teaching you. The Bible says he said to the woman, woman, yea, had God said. So we never see him beating the woman. We never see him molesting her, like tying her hand. But what left him to her were words. Did God say, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? It's a question. He engaged the woman in a conversation.
He made her listen to him. And she replied, verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Verse 3. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said. Remember, he's forcing her to tell him what God said. And he did not say it by saying, what did God say? He just asked a question that forced her to reveal. He wanted to know what information God told her, so that it will become the basis. Are you seeing that now? When Satan comes to you, he doesn't talk. He does something that makes you. He wants to hear, what did God tell you? Because that's where the faith is. Listen, he said, what did God tell you? He said, but of the fruit of which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither ye touch it, lest you die. So that's what God told her. She memorized it and had it to heart. Next verse. And the serpent said unto the woman, what was he attacking? The woman? No, he was not attacking the woman. He was attacking the information upon which her confidence was upon. Listen carefully. This is a warfare of informations. He didn't say, woman, I want to attack you. The woman was there and Satan could not touch her because there was an information that became a shield. Her obedience to that information was what stopped Satan. So when Satan come, he said, I want to know, not you. The information is what I want to attack. And here he's saying that this is what God said. And Satan said, that's it. My attack is not on you. My attack is on what is keeping you in pace with God. If I can attack that thing, I don't need to attack you. Something about your taking away the shield of faith will expose you. Are we together now? And the Bible says, and the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. In other words, forget about that thing God is saying. It's nonsense. Let me give you another information. And this is what he said, verse 5. Let me show you how Satan operates. Now, Satan, on hearing what God has told her, is trying to reveal something to her. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The fiery darts. Satan is creating a picture. He's creating an idea that God is insecure. He's just trying to tell you some things because he's insecure. If you work with the information I'm supplying you, you will find out that you will suddenly become like a god. Verse 6. All that thing Satan was saying, listen to me, was doing something to the woman. It was taking away the shield of faith. The proof that the shield had been taken was this. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, she had been looking at that tree all the time in our idea of tree as we know. And the Bible says, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. This new information had entered her mind. It's like a programming. This woman had received another information. He said, then she acted. What is faith? Conviction. And the action you take based on it. God told her something that was a persuasion as proposed by her husband. And she kept acting on the word of God. That for as long as she kept acting on what God said, it was a shield. Satan could not touch her because God's integrity will make what she believed to remain. And now Satan says, there's no way I can attack this woman. I will give her another source. He did not stop her from having faith. He changed what she was having faith in. Now, Satan is not a fool. Many people say he's coming to attack your faith. No, Satan has never had the business of attacking your faith. He's trying to attack your faith in God. You need faith to do anything, even if it's to work with Satan. Because faith is about the persuasion that comes from ideas and the action you take based on those ideas. Here's what he did to the woman. And the Bible says she gave it to her husband who was with her. You see that Adam was with her. He was not somewhere roaming around in the wilderness. Love kept him there. That's a subject for another day. The woman fell as a result of deception. The man fell as a result of love. Apostle Peter taught us, Adam was not deceived. It was Eve that was deceived. Adam loved his wife. and as a proof. So the next time you say, I love you till I die, or fall inside a well or something, this word is a Luciferian spirit. That statement. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open. Now, the people who came and led prayer here cried that our eyes be open, but who opened it? You see that? Another information had created another idea. Satan never made any physical contact, in as much as we know, but he kept firing that, and that did something to the woman and forced God to take an action against them. Think about it. You can't accuse Satan as it were. Satan said, what did I do? I only suggested to you, and you believed it, and put you in a position where God himself punishes you. Are we together now? Look how serious this thing is. Luke chapter 4. Quickly, please. We had considered that scripture. Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Next verse, please. And all of that, he was tempted of the devil. Verse 3. And the devil, what did Satan do? You see now again? So you now, where do you think Satan learned this? The idea of firing that through words. Have you read anywhere in your Bible that he sent forth his word? That he released his word, and when his word got to people, it did certain things to them. Satan understands the value of words. That in this kingdom, dominion is through words and what words do to men. That's why Jesus is called the Word of God. The Word of God. If thou be the Son of God, notice that when Satan comes to you, he tries to say something to you that will force you to reveal something God has said. He is not interested in you, because he knows that you, on your own, you cannot stand. So he wants to see, what is that shield? That shield, I'm going to soon show you. He said, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone to be bread. And then Jesus, answering him, said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And Satan said, you know this scripture. Let's look at the third temptation. Please go to verse 6. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him over the temple and said to him, now watch this now, if thou be the Son of God, cast yourself from hence. Verse 10. For it is written. First time Satan did not, he just said, if you are the Son of God. But now he said, you are using scripture. I know it too. It is written, he shall give his angels. Is that not true? This is Bible here. Satan is quoting the Bible. He shall give his angels charge. So Jesus, don't you no longer have faith in the Father? What has happened to your faith that you cannot jump? Don't shame me. Don't fall my hand. He said, I'm aware that there are angels that protect you. Jump as a proof that you have faith. If Jesus jumped, something would have happened to him that will change the course of history. I know you are surprised that if Jesus had jumped, do you know what made him the living logos? You know, if you read the Bible, don't just read the Bible for the sake of devotion. What would have happened if Jesus jumped? I know many of you would have, no matter what, they would have come to catch him and all of that. See, they said, we do not have a high priest who has not been tempted. Why will the Bible use that word for Jesus? Tempted like us, yet without sin. Meaning there was a possibility it would have happened. Are we together now? Yes. And Jesus, he said, for it is written. So you see, Satan does not necessarily stop you from having faith, because whoever gave you the shield is the one who defends it. So Satan just changes the object of your belief and your conviction, and he leaves you there believing you have faith and destroy your life and wreck you. He knows what he's looking for. The shield of faith. Let me tell you this. The Bible never said having the shield of faith. It says taking it. There is something you are going to do to be. Do you know what the shield of faith is? The shield of faith is not the written word, logos. The shield of faith is what God has told you that he's committed to defend over the issue you want. What God has told you, that God looks at you and says, Joshua, no man will be able to stand against you. That is the word Satan is looking for. Not just the one you just find anyhow in scripture. There is a rhema word. There is a revealed word for you that is the basis of your lifting. For instance, God can look at a woman and before you had your children, God can say, I covenant with you that none of your child will be wayward. That's what Satan is looking for. No matter all your Bible study words, he will not bother, because the strength of your children's remaining is your believing that word. The day you stop believing it, you have taken away the shield of faith and given Satan room to wreck your children. Are we together? God gives you a word and says, surely, surely, you will have your children and there will be no barrenness. You will be surprised that Satan is not interested in what is written. He's interested in what God said to you, not to everybody. Let me tell you something. The proof that God is ready to walk with you is that he gives you something that is the basis of believing him. There is nobody that rises in the kingdom without a revealed word from God that becomes the basis of your confidence. You want to start a business, you go to God and pray. And while you are praying, either the Holy Ghost speaks to you or a scripture jumps out, and that word you see is where the attack comes from. Satan will begin to use things to fight that word. The goal is to bring you to a point. Listen, brothers and sisters, warfare, much more than the war of spirits, is the war of informations, because your conviction is based on what your mindset is carved upon. Are we together? Words. This kingdom is a kingdom of words. Men fall by words. Men rise by words. Men reign by words. When you see a woman unbending, Satan is trying to whip her family. Bad news. When Satan went before God, listen, he said, Satan, have you considered my servant Job, a man that feared God and eschewed evil? What did Satan say? He said, you have built a hedge around him. Go and find out what that hedge is. It was a secret that God gave Job that he obeyed every time. And as long as he obeyed that secret, it was not a secret for everybody. It was a secret that was uniquely given. He said, Job, this is the secret of your prosperity. Someone else will do it, it will not work. It's a secret between me and you. And for as long as Job obeyed it, Satan called it a hedge. No matter how he tried to attack Job, it didn't work. And he said, Lord, please make Job to do something. Give me access to the hedge. Job lost everything. Only his wife was standing. And Satan now began to manipulate the wife so that the one last word that is left. And Job said, no, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. And Satan said, my God, I thought I would finish this guy. I had reduced him down. The one last string that would give me victory over Job. Job has refused. He still held that shield like a man beaten and would not let it go. And the Bible says Job had his life restored again. You can frustrate Satan by keeping what God said to you, no matter what he says. No matter. Listen, every one of us here, there are parents that God told certain things, but the economic hardship is frustrating them now. They are buying into another principle. Are you getting what I'm saying now? The victory is always in what God said, not just your action. If you act by yourself, you are on your own. Until God gives you the marching order, you cannot take a step. So every time we want to command victory in the spirit, the first action is to build conviction, not based on what God said to us, what he said to you that you have received. There are things God has said to me as a man of God and as a man that is the basis of my confidence. There are things God has told me. You see that? He may not have told you that. We have the Bible generally that teaches us the character of God, but I'm showing you a mystery. Just this on its own is not the shield of faith. This is the whole armor. Is something about it that becomes a shield. Just carrying the Bible and move, you are carrying an armor, but there is a way it can become a shield. The moment the rhema comes to you, that's a shield. God says, use it, use it, carry that shield. Stand before the labor market and say, when I was praying before I rounded up service, God told me that I will always cause men to lift you. That's the word, that's the shield of faith. Satan comes and says, but if it is true that God said it, don't you have an uncle that is in NMPC? He's doing something to you. He's not just challenging your faith, he's challenging the word of God. What he's doing is he's shifting the shield. You are a sister and God gives you a word. They shall obey and serve him. He shall bless them. And God said, just serve me and me, myself, God. This is not a word for every lady. It's the word he gave you. Serve me and I will bring your husband. That's what God says. Are we together now? Now, look at this. Let me have your attention, please. This lady is serving God. And all of a sudden, Satan comes with all kinds of gimmicks. When Satan comes and is looking at the workforce of that ministry, he's not interested in the people. What do they believe? Until you have revealed to Satan what God has said, he remains helpless. So he has designed a way of finding out. Because he knows that believers respond by confessing the word. So he attempts to touch your life and hears what you say in response. Your speaking will tell him, oh, this is what God has said. All right, let's negotiate. This is what God has said. Ejimi, God said you will prosper. Did God say you will really prosper? And then you say that and he says, okay, look at everything around you. You have brain. Does it look like God? And you say, ah, God, you just took away the shield. He will strike you in a way. Satan will never. My Bible says, listen, it says with the shield of faith, if you refuse to bend it, no matter what kind of dart Satan sends, that shield, that faith can quench it. A spiritual man is not just the man that prays in tongues. A spiritual man is the man that has mastered placing value on what God has said, that you can hold it and say, though he slay me. Madam, you have all kinds of things. The way we are looking at your case, you may never have a child. You say, thank you, doctor. I understand. You get back and say, Lord, I remember I came for Koinonia Miracle Service and you used a man of God to speak to me. Lord, have you forgotten that you said, I'm so before December I will have a child? And Satan uses a dream to try to change your mindset. You have a dream and you see yourself losing a baby. When you get up physically, the devil now says, how about that dream? Satan knows that images are the keys to killing men. He will use images and whip your intelligence. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death. So you look at your bank account and you look at it and you see that all you have is 1,000 naira, and God speaks to you and says, son, by the end of this year you will own a house. And then the devil now tries to be scientific. The word of God has the potency for accomplishment. Remember, it's a sent word. It's not a read word, it's a sent word. The word has become a messenger, and every messenger must be obedient to his master. Remember, the word of God is living. So we're not talking of just a thing. The word of God sent on errand, the angels follow that word. to find out where the word needs their help, to cooperate with it until it comes to pass. Your assignment is, whilst that is, you are the only one who can stop that word from coming to pass by taking away the shield. There are many men of God who have taken away the shield of faith. God told them things. They saw things. Their eyes were open to revelations. I've said it. If I die today of sickness, the last word that comes out of my mouth is, by his stripes I am healed. When we get to heaven, God will either apologize to me for failing me or reveal to me where I missed it. Are you seeing that? It says through faith, time will fail me. Let me show you men who use this thing in the Bible. Time will fail me to talk of Gideon and Jephthah and Barak. Are we together? It's a man who through this faith subdued kingdoms. Joshua, look at Joshua and Caleb. He said, we are able to go up at once. Yes, there are giants, but what did he tell us? He said, we are bringing you Moses. When you came from the secret place, you said, God said, from Egypt, the land of captivity, to Canaan, not wilderness, I won't die here. It's true, we saw the Anakims. It's true, we know they are not pure human beings. But he says the shield can give you an ability. And Satan fires his arrows and human beings even pity you. But when everything is gone, you lift up. Ah! And you say, I'm still standing. Oh, you thought it would destroy the ministry, but I'm still standing. You thought it would destroy my home. And Satan says, what do I do with this person now? Listen, let me tell you this. Everybody you see lasting in the kingdom understands this. How to use faith as a shield. The word of God must become your new eyes tonight. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That the same way you have an eye, pick what God said and let that become your system of interpretation. That you can sit down in your room, no gari, and yet you are rejoicing. And Satan says, let's cry together because you are making a mockery of yourself. He will even use believers. This is what is dangerous. He will use believers. You better use your brain. You are a stupid person. You are just serving the Lord like a fool. You better settle down. And he said, no, I know him. Father, if it be thy will. But God already spoke to him. He knows why you are coming to die. Nevertheless, and since I said no, what do I do with him? There is nothing Satan can do with a man who will not find offense in God. There is nothing Satan can do to a man who will not blame God. When Satan pushes you and you do not charge God with guilt, let me tell you this. I don't know if you have been taught or not, but hear me. I found out a secret about Satan. He can be tired. You know how a man can be frustrated. Have you ever seen a man trying to do something and he's frustrated? You are trying to kick a car and after 1 hour, this thing is not working and you just dump it. That thing can happen to Satan. A believer can weary Satan, that Satan will see you and mind himself. It is true. Jesus did it and he left Jesus for a season. He said, I'm tired. There's something he has told me. God, there is nothing on earth that will dwindle me. The Bible calls one who has fallen to the prey of Satan a double-minded man. He said, let that man not think he will ever receive anything. That means that person, whatever it is that he thinks, you depend on men. Satan will use them to manipulate your mind. God will tell you, start this business. And the devil tells you, look, be careful. He will use, it is written. I hope Satan spoke to God. He will speak to you and you will hear him. So don't you think every voice that speaks to you, just because it is scriptures, is of God? The fact that you just had a scripture that you can get the verse and chapter does not mean it is God. Satan is not a fool. When he comes to you, he says, and you know that wisdom is profitable to direct. And you say, thank you, Holy Spirit. No. You need discernment to know. that although this is scripture, this is against the revealed word to me, something is wrong. Listen, if you want to rise in life and you want to reign in life, listen to what I'm telling you. Your dominion in the final analysis will be on the strength of your staying power to say, I'm not bending. If I perish here, is that kind of statement Satan doesn't want? That's the kind of thing that drives him crazy. When you say, Satan, I'm angry, he says, oh, you are human, you can change. You come to church now and dance up and down. But when Satan sees your tears and you say, Satan, if you are expecting to hear from me tomorrow that I've given up, you are joking. Are we together? Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. All the days of my appointed time. Who told him the time was appointed? I will wait until my change comes. Jesus said, destroy this temple, I'll build it in 3 days. Do you know why Jesus resurrected? It wasn't just because he was the Son of God. It was because the revealed word had declared that the grave would not be able to hold him. There had to be, Jesus himself held on to a word in death and the word brought him back to life. Hear me, believers. The starting point of your victory is holding on to something that has been revealed. Something that God has said. Something that God has said. There are things God has told me. If God said it's a year of signs and wonders, it can be a general word for everybody. But in your place of prayer, you will hear something from that word that becomes your word. It's up to you now to hold it and say, Lord, I thank you. It's a great peace of day that fear him in nothing. Do you know there's a revelation that I have? And God gave me that revelation. Luke 10:19, he says, Behold, this is God talking to me, not believers. God is talking to me, Joshua Selman. Behold, see, conceive as a reality in your spirit. I give you power upon snakes and scorpions, to tread upon snakes and scorpions, and every power of the enemy. That's your revelation. Let me tell you my own. And nothing shall by any means. What is by any means? Mention the means of transportation. You have air, you have land. Mention the means by which Satan can use to afflict people. Covenant, whatever it is. Your own faith level self, the Bible says, by any means hurt you. I can't believe this one for you, but it's the revelation that keeps with me. That's the reason a herbalist can call my name in the shrine and die for nothing, reduce his lifespan. While I'm sleeping, I'm not even praying about it, because even in my sleep, there is a shield. You see, it's not something you wake up and hold. Listen, I have said it for a long time. There is no mortal man born of a woman that can kill me. It's not pride. I'm standing on something God told me. It's not just I shall not die but live. That's a general revelation. There is something God told you that you hold. God told Bishop Oyedepo, go and build a 50,000 capacity sitter. It cannot be done humanly, but that was a revealed word. And regardless of the odds, he kept that shield of faith. And in 9 months, that word came to pass. Satan notwithstanding. God declared a word to us as a ministry, declared a word over the teachings, over the things we are doing, and we have kept that shield of faith. No matter what it is, kept. What you see today is a product of the staying power of faith. Tonight's call is a call to take back your shield. Do you know why he said take it back? Because for some of you, you've thrown it. He said take it. Apostle, God told me by November I'll be smiling. Take it. I remember a lady that I spoke to. I can't remember. We were joking with her. And I told her, I said, by December this year, you'll be heavy. And the lady was smiling and all of that. And I said, you see that now? You didn't believe it. And we were cracking jokes with her. Now, if I'm joking, it will come to pass. You see that? Because I'm human, I can joke. Doesn't mean that everything I say is the word. I'm a human being, we can play and joke. But when it is the revealed word of God and you hold it, God will surprise you. You hear all these maybe miracle alerts and all of that. It's unfortunate for people who don't believe this thing can happen. The word of God, except it is not sent. If the word of God is sent, brothers and sisters, once you hold that shield, just be watching Satan like Elijah while they are crying on Baal from morning. Look at Elijah was mocking them. His shield was there, secured. He knew what to do. He knew the mysteries that will bring fire. He was not guessing. And he said, call on your God. You only mock Satan when your shield is there. And you look at him and say, Satan. Look at how Elijah mocked them and said, maybe he's sleeping. Call on him louder. And when it was time, he didn't just start saying, Lord, and you don't disappoint me. No. He said, set me the altars. I know what to do. Bring 12 stones. Put water on them. Put the sacrifice. And he cried upon the God of heaven. And fire came and licked it. Faith is not mechanical. There is no faith when there is no revealed word. There is no faith when there is no revealed word. Let me tell you something. I'm careful when I'm sharing testimonies like this. One day, I was praying in the spirit very deeply, and all of a sudden, the word of the Lord came to me, and this is what the Lord said. He said, I am sending 1,000 Titus to the ministry and 1,000 Titus to your life. The word. I said, what is the meaning of this? I wrote it down. 1,000 Titus to the ministry, 1,000 Titus to your life. As people in the ministry are more than that. And then I went to sleep, and all of a sudden, in my eye, I started seeing business organizations and individuals and all of that saying, the Lord spoke to us to come and be paying tithes, some to your house, some to you. And I got up, I said, Lord, is this it? And the Lord said, if you believe it and you receive it, I will surprise you. You don't have to know where they will come from. You see that? And all of a sudden, I said, Lord, I'm a believer. I take your word. Brothers and sisters, it was like a charm. Hello, is this Koinonia? This is so and so company in Lagos. Am I speaking to this and that? You are Apostle Joshua Selman. Please give us the ministry account number. The Lord instructed us as a business that the tithe of this company for as long as we exist should come to the ministry. And God said, keep counting. I said, 1,000. Not just people giving. You see that? Listen, that's why I say, I'm sorry if it sounds arrogant, but I'm telling you, you reign by the word you receive. You reign by, when God sends it, you can reject it. A word was sent through Gabriel to Mary. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. She would have said, get out, please. And that's it. The Holy Ghost would have gone to look for another virgin somewhere and said, this Mary, she has not. But Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. Do you know the controversy that followed that word? Mary, you are pregnant. Who got you pregnant? A ghost. You are joking. It's either Joseph or one rabbi. She said, no. God told me, an angel just appeared to me. And God kept his word. And Jesus was born. Many of us would have birthed certain things if only you held that shield. When it was 1 week for the prayer to be answered, you gave in to Satan and you threw the shield. Tonight, my assignment in this prayer is that we are taking back that shield. Lord, I've become a believer again. I remember what you told me in 1992. I don't know what took my attention away, but Lord, I'm remembering it again. Some of you, when you go back, there are the old notebooks that you wrote things that God said. God describe your destiny, but because it was too big, you just close it quietly. Go back tonight. Take back that shield. Lord, I'm a believer. Take it and watch Satan. Watch faith rubbish Satan in your life. Listen, in this prayer and fasting, I'm demystifying Satan for you. The honor that has... Satan is human. Satan is a man. He's not just a spirit. He was once... Listen, Satan was once the head of a civilization on earth. What Jesus was sent to represent, there was a day Satan was sent to do it. Satan one time was sent on earth to be the revelator of the love of God to the then inhabitants. That's what gave him the authorization to capture the people and say, this God up there, have you ever seen him? Am I not the one representing him? That's why Romans say, who shall say, let's go up and bring him down for us? The word is nigh thee. Christ himself came and said, let it not be that God does not want to come to men. Now I have come, not an angel, I have come by myself. The Garden of Eden was not created for Adam and Eve. The first occupant of the Garden of Eden is Satan. Ezekiel 28, that was in Eden, the garden of the Lord. He was there. Because of our wrong believing, we have given more power to Satan than should be. I told us yesterday, I know some of you don't believe it, that there are angels today that have fallen that have nothing to do with Satan. It was not Satan that threw them. They were rebels, another group of angels. They are bound today in everlasting chains. The devil and his demons are not bound in chains. There are demons today now that are bound in chains. The only reason why Satan has not been bound is because there was a time given to respect his will for choosing to reject God. When Jesus was going to cast out the demons in Gadara, he said, have you come to destroy us? Respect the rules. There is a time, but the time is not yet. So what you can do now is to cast them and create a system of keeping them at bay. The destruction, as it were, is something that there is a time appointed. God respects it. That's what makes Satan look powerful. So he comes to you and said, I am indestructible. Are you not seeing God's frustration in destroying me? It is not God's. It was Michael that casted him down, not even God. You wait and see how God destroys Satan. It is fire that will come from his mouth and consume the creature. Flood will never happen on earth again. It is now the ministry of fire. Are we together now? It is with fire that Lucifer will be destroyed. So God's withholding him or withholding his hands from Lucifer is not a sign of weakness, but he takes advantage of our ignorance and makes it look like his continual dominion is proof that God is weak. There is a time he has been conquered for the saints, but his ultimate destruction will be done by God's sovereign power when the time appointed has reached. But with the power and the strength of the word of God, you can keep him at bay. You can keep him. That's why I cast out devils here and I drive safely. I go home and sleep. Otherwise, they are supposed to appear to me and say, since you casted us in Koinonia, we are here in your house. Beg them to come. If you ever meet them, this is not just some bold statement. Beg, say, Satan, please come. You can know this thing and carry your shield and pass Satan, and he will pass you and he will move. Brothers and sisters, Satan is not what we think he is. He has used words. He has sent fiery darts into the minds of preachers, into the minds of book writers, and they have in error magnified him beyond the proportion of his true size. By light, we are bringing him down to say, look, Satan, your only strength is in your ability to capture the belief of the saints and manipulate their understanding. So the real warfare is not physical. The real warfare is using the shield of faith to maintain that truth of God's word, and that in maintaining it, you force the integrity of God to appear in the scene. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because we are going to pray tonight. Satan's greatest weapon is doubt, unbelief. He manipulates your mind. He knows what your eyes can do. He knows what your ears can do. These are the gates to his dominion in your life. He sends those fiery darts. He uses dreams. He uses your physical experience. He uses the news you hear. And they just tell you, look, in the world now, it is ratio 4 ladies to 1 man. So the chances of a lady marrying, he uses the media to sell you that information. While you are reading the article, you are imagining yourself 4 rows behind. And then he tells you, look, just know that there is no marriage for you. And if at all it happens, you cannot have a child. There are women who believe once they are past 45, 50, they can't have a child again. And information proposed it to a territory. We have doctors here. So based on what you, it's an opinion, but it's an educated opinion. Are we together? Yes. So a man, you go to the hospital and a woman, and they say you are impotent and you are barren. Look at the reports, and you look at it, and Satan steals into that conversation and says, see it, you too, use your brain. What is, are you, didn't you go to school? Based on what they taught you, what is the analysis? But at that point, you lift the shield of faith and say, there is another report. He said, whose report? Meaning many people will give you reports. Satan will give you reports. Science will give you reports. Your culture will give you reports. Well-meaning believers will give you reports. But whose report will you believe? I choose his report. I choose his report. I choose his report. I know what he's told me. I choose his report. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. He told Joshua, no man shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. And so when an angel appeared to Joshua, Joshua removed the knife. He said, are you for us or against us? He would have killed that angel. The word of God on Joshua would have killed that angel if he did not explain. He said, no, calm down. Calm down. Because he was moving on a word. If it be thou, bid me come. Come. And he started walking on the word. And the moment Satan did not take him out of the river, he only took his face away and he started to sink. Listen, let me challenge everyone, my brother, my sister. It will take faith to be established in this life. Brothers, let me tell you this. There is no guarantee anywhere that is a job that will lift you. There is no guarantee anywhere that is even your business that will lift you. You will need to take a shield of faith. The statistics are scary. If you believe them, you will never build a house forever. If you believe them, you will never own one land. Let me talk to my brothers first. Sisters, we can come to you, but let me talk to my brothers, because the world is selling us a lie and we're believing those garbages. I don't have any godfather anywhere. I don't have anybody anywhere. Ah! This God that can pick a man from the dunghill overnight. When a young man prospers fast, people get angry. I don't believe in all kinds of wrong schemes and all of that. But let no one fool you that God does not give people speed of lifting an establishment. Don't let anybody come and say, take it easy. What they mean is be careful for something. And the Bible says be careful for nothing. Take it easy. When you are 45 and you buy your first car, it's all right. You can give God glory. For as your child can go to another school, doesn't make sense, doesn't matter what they teach, as soon as you can afford. It's a proposition. Don't just see it as an information. It's a dart. But when you believe God's report, we have been taught that everything in life, you buy it. So all you are looking at is money, not God. But the Bible says they got the land in possession not by their own sword, neither did their arm save them. That the God of heaven can arise. When you teach people superior spiritual strategies, they will ignore it. That's what makes people get angry. Once you see a young man with the blessing of the Lord, everybody starts getting angry and suspecting and in bitter hatred, because they don't know what formula did you route this possibility from. No, sir. It is unto you according to your faith. It is not unto us, it is unto you. Blessed is she that believes, for unto her, not her and her neighbors, unto her alone there shall be a performance of those things that were spoken. We are going to pray. I'm taking out time. This is not a little issue at all. You ignore it, you will fail in life. Brothers and sisters, listen. The fierceness of today's world, Satan has captured the media. He has captured every mechanism that transfers information to men. You just need to go out and there's unbelief everywhere. Wake up in the morning, the news is unbelief. Go around, the news is unbelief. Enter a lecture hall, unbelief. Your job, unbelief. You must say, no! I reject that report. I reject that report. There are people today, they said Nigeria is in a recession. They started going down. They are not even working for Nigerian government, but just because they received the report, they started, whether or not there was a recession, the truth is they are not even doing anything. They just believed and went down. I reject it. The Bible says there was darkness in Egypt, but in Goshen, the light. When the angel of death was slaughtering people like animals, there were people in Goshen who were moving and enjoying. You can exempt yourself not only by light, not only by the sword of the spirit. You can hold the shield of faith. You can use your faith not just as an instrument to receive things, but it keeps you until the word of God manifests. Hallelujah. Do you believe what I've shared with you? Rise up on your feet. Let's pray. Are you ready to pray? The first prayer point is that you are going to pray and say, I sanctify my eyes and my ears. I command you to refuse any report that is not of the Lord. Lift your voice and pray. I command a sanctification, that my eyes be purged with eyesal, that the gates of my ears come under divine covering. Lift your voice and pray. I command it. I command it. My eyes and my ears immune to the influence of fear and doubt. Hallelujah. Say in the name of Jesus. Say it again, in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare tonight that I am a believer. A believer of God's word. God cannot lie. God cannot fail. Therefore, every spirit of doubt, of fear, of unbelief, I cast you out of my life now. Lift your voice and pray. I command fears. I command doubt. My God is alive. My God is alive. My God still prospers. My God still heals. My God still delivers. My God still restores. I believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you believe the word of God, then let's pray three or four scriptures that can be for us as a rhema word that we hold on to. Ready? Psalm 112. There is a prayer I want us to pick out from there and cry to God. He said it's a year of signs and wonders. Don't mind the naysayers. Don't mind those who mock you. He said, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commands. Number two, this is the first prayer point. His seed. Your seed is not just your child, your ideas, your business, your goals, is whatever comes from him. His seed shall be mighty. Lift your voice and say, my seed, I command you to be mighty. Lift your voice and pray. Your physical child, your ideas, your influence, I command my seed, be mighty, be mighty. Spiritual seed, be mighty. Financial seed, be mighty. Pray, the seed shall be mighty. I command it, I declare it. I will not be small. My children will not be small. Prophesy it. Koinonia will not be small. The waters will not be small. My seed shall be mighty. 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 I believe it. I believe it. Hallelujah. Do you believe what you just prayed? Because when I say seed, ladies say, I don't carry the seed, I only receive it. So the devil will deceive you in not praying. No, seed is not just for men alone. Your seed is anything that proceeds. Listen, one of the ways to command influence is through your seed. You send your seed on assignment. Bill Gates sent his seed on assignment. Zuckerberg sent his seed on assignment. Wisdom is justified by her seed, her children. Listen, in life, if you are the only one who is mighty, you have failed. It is the might of your seed that maintains your position. Nobody rises alone. You rise alone in your family, and all those under you don't rise, and watch them bring you down again by themselves. He said his seed, we are going to pray it again. Lord, the spirit of smallness, the spirit of mediocrity that keeps me and everything that proceeds from me small, I curse it in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. My ideas, my dreams, my seed shall be mighty. My seed shall be mighty. My seed shall be mighty. My seed must be mighty. My seed must be mighty. In the name of Jesus, everything that proceeds from Koinonia must be mighty. The teachings, mighty. The revelations, mighty. The miracles, mighty. Hallelujah. Give us the next verse. I want you to pray this scripture. He said wealth and riches, they are not the same thing. Wealth is different from riches. He said both of them. You can have wealth and not have riches. When you have a great idea in your mind, you have wealth. But if there's no money in your pocket, you are wealthy, but you are not rich. You can have money, but no idea, no system of replenishing. He said both wealth and riches will be domiciled. They won't be visitors. That means wealth and riches are spirits. You can call them and say you are welcome. Hey. Just like goodness and mercy. Lift your voice and call them forth. Lift your voice. The Bible says wealth and riches shall be in my house. I decree and declare. I decree and declare. Wealth and riches shall be in Koinonia. For the sake of the gospel. For the sake of the kingdom. Wealth and riches shall be in my life. Shall be in my house. Shall follow my children, my children's children. Hallelujah. The last verse is a prayer that many people don't understand. It's a waste in life if you spend your life building something that in one day just crashes. There is a spirit that destroys the good works of men. The Bible says his righteousness endures. His righteousness, his good works, the testimony of your impact remains forever. There are people who are in ministry for 30 years. Then in 1 month, something happens around your life and crashes everything. Destroys the testimony forever. You are going to lift your voice and say, what the Lord doeth, he doeth forever in my life. There is no rising to death going up tomorrow. Lift your voice and pray. His righteousness endures forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're still praying against the spirit of poverty. Isaiah 45. Verse 2 and 3. Isaiah 45. Please be angry and pray. Don't join the people who have kept people in penury and destroyed the heritage of the faith upon their life. He says, I will go before thee and make the crooked path straight. He says, I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Verse 3. And I will give thee, I will give thee the treasures of darkness. Brothers and sisters, this is not a parable. It's not a parable. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which calleth thee by name, I am the God of Israel. And say, Lord, the hidden riches that belongs to me, I'm ready to receive it in this season for my family, for the gospel, for the kingdom. Pray. The hidden riches, the hidden riches in secret places that my father could not find, that my mother could not find, that my lineage could not find. open down my eyes that I may see. Open down my eyes that I may see. Hallelujah. We're praying scriptures. Isaiah 58. Give us verse 11 and 12. Powerful prayer. Isaiah 58, verse 11. I'm giving you shields that you stand upon, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. There are people whose lives are suffering today because they lack divine guidance. Thou shalt hear a voice from behind. Everybody's running this way. You run and crash with them. It says, the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in recession. That when there is drought, he will not only give you, he will satisfy your soul and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a well-watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Verse 12. And they that shall be of thee, thy seed again. You see that now? And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer. That in this family, nobody ever rose, but all of a sudden, there is somebody called the repairer, the fixer of the cause, the repairer of the tragedy. Lift your voice and pray this. Lift your voice and pray. The repairer of the bridge. The repairer of failed marriages. The repairer of destructive destinies.
Hallelujah.
If I were you, I will pray this next prayer with all my heart. Isaiah chapter 60. We are reading from verse 10 to 14. In fact, 10 to 15. Listen, brothers and sisters, believe everything you are about to read. These things are not something that was written to some ancient people. Hear what the Bible says. And the sons of strangers, who will build Koinonia? Who will build your house? No, you can choose to save for it. You can believe that strangers can arise. Listen. The sons of strangers, the seed of strangers, shall build thy walls. Their kings, the word minister is so into your life. Their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor I've had mercy on thee. Next verse. Therefore, Kabaraka Toskia, thy gates shall be open continually. Listen, it says they shall not be shut. That's why you can sleep in the night and still wake up with an alert. He said, day, night. That men, who are those who will bring it? Men. That men may bring unto you the forces of the Gentiles, and their kings may be brought. We are reading to verse 15 quickly. For the nation and the kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Next verse 14. It says the glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box together, to beautify where? The place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place place of my feet glorious. 14, we are reading to 15. The sons of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves at the sole of thy feet. They shall call thee the city, not a person, not a Jimmy, that you were born in a cave, but right now you are a city. He says the city of the Lord, the Zion, a one man becoming a city. 15. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Open your mouth and turn it to your prayer. Lord, I receive it. Lord, I receive it. Strangers will build koinonia in the name of Jesus. 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 You are turning everyone in koinonia to a city. You are turning everyone in this ministry to a city. You are turning everyone in this ministry to a city. A small one shall be great. A small one shall be great. We may start small, but a small one shall be great. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 60 verse 1. Isaiah. We're going to pray. Just two more prayer points and we're done. Listen. You're going to lay your hands on your head. Your head is the symbol of your glory. Listen. The Bible says, arise. It's a command. If you don't rise, you are in disobedience. It says, arise. Do you know what arise means? Come out. Come out of limitations, limiting beliefs. In the next 1 minute, I'd like you to blast and prophesy that my glory arises. I command it. In the name of Jesus, Joshua 7, your glory arises. Your glory arises. Koinonia, your glory arises. In newer dimensions, greater dimensions. In ministry, arise. In business, arise. In influence, arise. In power, arise. Arise, arise, I command it, arise. Arise, shine, regardless of the village you came from, arise, shine, regardless of your level of education, arise, shine, regardless of your gender, arise, shine.
Hallelujah. Listen, before we take the last prayer point, let me give you an assignment tonight. As much as God grants you grace, find like 4 or 5 scriptures tonight. Don't just snore yourself into tomorrow. Are we together? One of the best ways to pray faith prayers is to pray scriptures directly.
Yes, sir.
Just find a scripture and pray it in tongues till it leeches onto your destiny. That's how I pray sometimes. I just begin to speak directly. Lord, this is what you said. I believe it. And you watch the God of wonders arise and surprise you.
Are we together? I began to feel strongly in my spirit after I went back yesterday that the Lord was leading us to pray, especially along the area of this release from financial captivity. We are spiritual people, yes, and sir, we love the Lord. But let me tell you the truth. There is no dominion if God does not free you and free your hand and free your children. One of the greatest ways to be a slave is to keep you a beggar. Are we together? He said, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower believer, the borrower tongue talker, remains a slave to the lender. This is not some money-mongering ambition of people who don't love God. These are people who understand the systems of the kingdom. Are we together now? Yes. So we are still going to be dealing with these things, I believe, if God grants grace subsequently. But for now, we are just going to pray one last prayer. One last prayer. There's a separate, I'm sure that between now and Friday, I don't know which of the days, but God will grant us time to pray on it. But the last prayer that I want us to pray is found in Luke 6:38, the B part of Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Good measure, pressed down, listen, shaken together. Give us Amplified. Look at what Amplified writes. Very funny and very interesting. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall they pour into the pouch formed or whatever it is, and all of that. It says, for with the same measure you meet, that's the same measure that will be given to you. There's a version that says shaken together to create space for more, but for time's sake it says shall men. Go back to King James. The word men is what I want us to pray tonight. Good measure, pressed down, Joshua Selman, shaken together, running over, shall men where will the alert come from? The favor, the breakthrough, the job, the access. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I prophesy to the north.
I prophesy to the north.
I prophesy to the south.
I prophesy to the south.
I prophesy to the east.
I prophesy to the east.
I prophesy to the west.
I prophesy to the west.
Every man
anointed by God
to lift me,
to lift me,
to bless me,
to bless me,
to open a door for me, tonight.
Tonight,
I call you into my life. Open your mouth and pray. Good measure. Good measure. In business, good measure. In ministry, good measure. In your job, in your career, good measure. In your family, good measure. Press down, shaken together, running over. Shall men in Zaria, shall men in Kaduna, shall men in Lagos, shall men in London, shall men in US, men in Asia, shall men in the village, men in the city, men on the mountain, men in the valley. Believers, unbelievers alike, shall men bring. I call on the gift of men. I place a demand on the gift of men in my life, in this ministry. I call on the gift of men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're rounding up. There are many challenges that our loved ones are in now. It's only a man sent by God, not called by you, sent by God that would take you out. He said there was a man sent from God. His name was John. Sent from God. There is a helper sent from God to the Adegbeye family. There is a helper sent from God to so, 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 and so. There is a helper. Listen, nobody helps you just because they know you. Don't let anyone fool you. They can know you and say, I'll see you tomorrow. Nobody just helps you like that in this wicked world that we live in. But there is a man. It can even be a Cyrus sent from God. Listen, everybody that has risen in life will tell you they met a man who fell in love with them.
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you, how you know it is of God is that it does not make sense.
Yes, sir.
There is no reason why that man should be committed to you. That's how you know this one is the finger of God. What is house that God cannot send a man to give? What is a car that God cannot send a man to give? What is school fees that God cannot send a man to pay? What is house rent? Honestly speaking, listen to me. Shall men give? There was a man sent to Joshua Selman from God, like a man sent on assignment. There were many widows in Zarephath, but I don't know what that widow did that made God send Elijah to her. People have been sent to this ministry, and my goodness, they have done things in this ministry we will never recover from. Sent by God, not even members of Koinonia. There was a man sent from God. Hear me, oh, this is the antidote to a life of hardship and struggle. You can call people, but the day God sends a man, it will not make sense. He will sit in your house, you are not around, but he will remain there till evening. Who are you, sir? I had a dream, oh, God sent me to you, and he said I should help you, that you must rise. Do you know my father, sir? That's even the man himself, the sendee, is surprised. He doesn't even know why he's coming to you. Listen, we're praying and we're rounding up, but I want to say this. My prayer for you is that God will do something in your mind to make you believe it is men that lift men. It is God that gives the instruction, but the physical lifting is by men. The position you need to rise to now, there is a hand already that can lift it. Hallelujah. Someone was producing eggs, real eggs. Just a woman started a business with poultry and was producing eggs and was crying that God will help her. True story. All of a sudden, she was even passing, and she felt led to enter a church, and they were praying or something. When they finished, she just greeted somebody who gave her a lift. She did not know that that man was the owner of a hotel, a new hotel that just started. And from that time, the man told her she would be the sole supplier of everything poultry to that hotel. Now, you would think you are doing the same business with a woman. That man is not doing business with her. He's a millionaire. He's helping her. There are men who do things not because they want anything. They want to help you. Are we together? I have seen the help of men. Someone will look at you and say, do you have a company? You say, no, sir. You say, why? You say, come. There is something. I want to make sure you are part of it so that you will get something. You will think the something is 10 naira until you see what comes out of it. You will run home and say, everybody rejoice. They are crying. Say, don't cry for what? Rejoice. God has answered us. God answers men by sending men. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
You can be planning your marriage and somebody just gets up and says, bring me the total budget. How much is it? He says, sir, it's 3 million. You say, I'm surprised. With recession, it's still 3 million. I will do something about it. You think he's going to give you a cow of 120,000 until you see an alert of 4 million. You say, sorry, I couldn't do much. Look at me. I want to be very honest with you. You belong to this ministry. How do you think we run this ministry? Have you ever thought about it? Be very honest. There is a supply that can come from heaven. There is a supply. You see, our Muslim brothers who come with their buses and stay for hours, they are not stupid to come and park for 30 minutes and be watching and then carry you happily back if there is nothing coming to them that rewards all the time they are staying. Just one more time. Lift your hands in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare over your life. I prophesy to you in the name of Jesus that everything that sways your belief about God, every lie the devil is using to cheat you, I command that the shield of faith works for you. In the name of Jesus. And because you have believed the word of the Lord that he has declared, I call men in the name of Jesus. You see, I think it was Isaac or Shade, I can't remember which of them. While they were leading prayers, they shared something powerful. God allocates times for the manifestations of things. Isaac sowed, and within that period, the required period of harvest, it worked. There is no reason why you should get to day 8. God is not stupid. He didn't say 8 days, he said 7 days. I decree and declare that between now and Friday, wherever these men are, if they are on earth, I call them to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I call them to your family. Tonight, I release dreams to their lives. I release visions about you to them. I decree and declare, they will arise tonight and surprise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord increase you. Now, our time is gone. Everybody, please just stand. Just give you an instruction. Let me guide you on how we're going to do the fast now. Please, everybody listen. Today is Tuesday. Tomorrow night will be the last night you are going to be breaking. Are we together now? Yes. From Wednesday night is a marathon stretch. The next 3 days is going to be fire in this place. Are we together now? Just trust God for grace. Are we together? So tomorrow night, you come and we rejoice. And there are things we are going to uproot and tear down. Please don't miss it. I want that by Friday, because Friday is an impartation, I'm going to be anointing you on Friday. That with these 7 days, remember, I told you on Friday, you are going to come with any point of contact, a document, whether your business proposal, whether certificate for your parents, that jobless thing they have been having for years, just beg them, even if they don't come, say, please, I will handle it well. Let me just bring it. It was when they went round Jericho 7 times, there was a shout that came up from there, and the Bible says every wall crumbled and they could go inside. Are we together? So please, I'm saying this so you don't forget. Aside from those who are pregnant, or if you have any medical condition, we have a lot of doctors here. After service, you can just wait and see any one of them. I'm sure they should be able to at least lightly do any consultation so you don't destroy your health. God is, maybe I'm sure that maybe tomorrow and subsequently, you notice we've not taken our time to pray for the sick. Maybe tomorrow or any of the days, we'll pray for the sick and take testimonies. Not like miracle service. We'll pray and then take testimonies. Hallelujah. But it's going to be very serious. So tomorrow night, prepare your heart. I will guide you by tomorrow night on how you are going to do it, because some of you may not be able to bear it. We don't want to stretch unnecessarily, but I will tell you how. There is a formula. There's a way you sustain yourself like this so that you don't destroy your health. If you have any medical report, please, if your wife is pregnant, please make sure that they don't stay. And then our little children, they can break. Our little children, 12 o'clock, that's all right. For those who God grants grace, they want to stretch by 3 or 4, it's okay. Don't let the little children stretch unnecessarily. They will grow. But you are an adult. You will not die. Receive grace from God and stretch. One of the ways to maximize strength in fasting is to stop loitering around. Praise the Lord. Loitering around is a cheater. It will collect everything and destroy you and rob you of the strength and all of that. You need to sustain, conserve your energy and pray. You are hopping today, you go and watch ball, then you finish and go to the room, you are not eating. No. Leave the ball. If they score a goal, you will hear. You can find out online. You can watch the rematch again. Settle with your destiny and let the God of heaven arise for you. Are we together now? Praise the Lord. But please take this night. Remember, everybody, wake up in the night. Wake up in the night. Say, I will wake up. Please put an alarm clock. Wake, even if it's for 20 minutes, wake up in the night. If you wake up, wake your friend. If he quarrels, you just leave him back. Let him lie down. You can wake up, trust God. 5-10 minutes struggle on the bed to stand up fully. 10 minutes you are up and open scripture. Don't pray nonsense prayer. We're praying with understanding. Find a scripture. Lord, this is what you have said. And use the mystery of the night time. Program, you are impregnating the womb of the morning, the Bible says. And while you are making utterances and declarations, you are making declarations by the Spirit, and you watch what God does in your life. Are we blessed? Let's share the grace. God bless you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you and see you tomorrow.
Believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/KoinoniaEternityNetwork International, or follow us on Twitter www.twitter.com/KoinoniaEni. You can also download our messages on www.foreshared.com. Eternity Network International, duplicating the glorious of God's life on earth.